And ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this episode of the Hagman and Hagman Report. Have we got just a tremendous show for you. Right out of the gate will be Mr. Steve Quayle, my good friend, and just a tremendous man of God, but a tremendous writer, a tremendous author. And something that, you know, his newest book, Tears, An Ocean of Emotion, we're going to be talking about, and I'm so thankful that he's going to be unveiling, or he's going to be talking about his book, Tears, An Ocean of Emotion. I read the book, and I went into it thinking it was going to be something entirely different. When I got done with the book, I was so glad I read the book, so inspired. It's just amazing. Before we get to Steve, folks, I just want to remind everyone we broadcast live every weeknight, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on the Global Star Radio Network, YouTube Live, and also Blog Talk Radio. We've got two different websites, Hagman Report, of course, HagmanReport.com, that is, and Hagman and Hagman.com, folks. Also, I put up a couple of videos this weekend. Please pass these videos around, especially the one that I put up last night as it relates to our infiltration into the progressive groups. Okay. So it's a 12-13 minute video, but it's very extremely important and informational. It's an important update about the potential for civil war in this country. And I believe that we're on the precipice of that. Portions of this broadcast brought to you by ZipRecruiter.com. Folks, go to ZipRecruiter.com. If you need to find that one candidate, the perfect candidate for your job, ZipRecruiter.com is the place to go. Go to ZipRecruiter.com. Right now, folks, listeners of this show can post jobs. If you're looking for that perfect hire, that perfect candidate, you can post your job openings on ZipRecruiter.com for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/free trial. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free trial. More on that later. But again, the book Tears and the Ocean of Emotion. I'll just open up by saying this, and I'm going to turn it right over to Steve. Steve has somehow managed to capture the physical and spiritual components of that single teardrop that flows down the face of your wife or that loved one. And I don't know how he has done this, but Tears, An Ocean of Emotion, is unlike any other book you'll ever read. He will take you on a journey from the physical to the spiritual and back again. He manages to unpack the science and the spirit of one's tears, providing you with just tremendously valuable insight into the complexities of both worlds as they are manifested in a single yet most meaningful tear. With that, Steve Quayle from stevequayle.com. Welcome to the Hagman Report.
Hi, Doug. What a joy to be on with you tonight. Kind of a different role, I guess. And I want to share something. I did not come up with this. I did not plan to write this. This is to give God glory. You know my scripture that I try and literally remind myself of daily, and I think I do a pretty good job when I look in the mirror and go, without you, Jesus, I can do nothing. Meaning Jesus is not me in the mirror, but Jesus. I keep reminding myself that a man has nothing except he receive it from above. And as you read the book, Doug, one thing that probably came to your mind as astonishingly as a revelation that came to mind when God gave me this in the shower is each tear we shed has a purpose. And you know what's interesting, what got me going on this is, and then I'll go into the revelation the Lord gave me. Now, I did not get this in a linear way. How else would the Lord talk to me except the way that I relate to information? As most people know, I'm sorry that I sometimes leave you hanging and go on to other stuff. All I can say is, you know, it must have been those bike falls as a kid or rolling dune buggies. But the thing is that I managed somehow by the grace of God to be able to share things that he's placed in my heart. Well, this whole thing came about in an interesting way. I was pondering Jesus wept, the shortest sentence in the New Testament. I was pondering, you know, how many tears have been shed in history. And I started to basically, you know, just think of Jesus and who, as a Son of God, all the tears that he bore for the sins of mankind. And so I'm in the shower, and the Lord drops words into my spirit. Tears, an ocean of emotion. And I go, an ocean of emotion. And that, which basically within about a 10-minute shower, I pretty much had the whole layout of this book and how I wanted it to go and how it would play out. First of all, most people don't know that just as our tears are unique to each of us, it's designed, they're designed to give us comfort when basically we're overwhelmed with emotions. Jesus was overwhelmed with emotions when Lazarus died. But I think the greatest revelation that came out of this for me, and I'm praying tonight, ladies and gentlemen, that your eyes will be open and that your ears will be open to what I believe is probably one of the greatest revelations of who Jesus is, and I have never heard it spoken this way, and it's not to say anything other than it's time for the people of God to recognize how great a gift salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ truly is. And, you know, the thing that's important then, when you look throughout the scripture, God in himself places weeping and tears in a special place. King David said he covered his pillow with tears that night. Jeremiah cried out, oh, that my eyes, you know, would be a fountain of tears. And most people don't understand. Jeremiah was also, I believe, prophesying the role of Jesus, the coming Messiah, to know what he would be like. Chapter 9, Jeremiah, the first verse. Oh, that my head were waters and my eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. And I'm going to give just two scriptures, and I'll go into what happened in the shower. Isaiah 53:4-6. And again, I think that, unfortunately, the ministers in the pulpit, the majority, don't even know what grace is, let alone even know how to preach cheap grace anymore, because they don't preach grace, God's riches, at Jesus Christ or at Christ's expense. They have belittled, they have denied, and the scripture said the day would come when professing supposed believers or claimants to Christianity would deny the very Lord that saved them. Psalm 56:1, the 8th verse, 1 and 8, be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up, he fighting daily oppresses me. Verse 8, you come my wanderings, put you my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? So every single tear, and when we get to the end of this hour, I'll share that in the book of Revelation. It talks about what God does with the tears of the righteous and the saints and the redeemed. To put it into perspective, God gave me the instant understanding in the shower that basically your tear is like the quintessential memory bank for all your emotions, all your perceptions, all your life's experiences, all the tears of disappointment, the tears of failure, the tears of joy, every human emotion that you've experienced in your life, good, bad, or even indifferent. Some people just cry because they're miserable. But all that changes when we come to know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Because how it changes is this. God changes us from the inside out. And whether there were tears of defeat, tears of agony, and even tears of the person that's got his hand on the trigger, and he's already cocked the hammer, he's already chambered around in a semi-auto and getting ready to blow his brains out, God has a way in answer to prayer. And like you have seen on this your show, and we have seen praying for people on your show and talking and telling people, don't pull that trigger. God loves you. And for everyone who's thinking of committing suicide tonight, and I only go here when the Lord prompts me, I want you to go to the 139th Psalm. And there is a beautiful verse in that, that more numerous than the sand of the sea, so are God's thoughts towards you. The problem with suicide is, and I know quite a bit about it, and have unfortunately been around too many people that went to an untimely grave, because unfortunately the demons got to them, and not only the demons get to them, but dumb, and I'll say this, dumb, non-understanding pastors of spiritual warfare talked them out of their own deliverance. So, you know, what I'm saying tonight is this is a special word that God gave me. Now, back to the revelation. Do not come, please, do not take your own life. No matter how hopeless it seems, no matter how much despair is in your life, I hope that by the grace of God tonight, and I believe by the grace of God tonight, He'll help you to understand this. Every tear we shed is saved up, both in the righteous and in the damned. The tears of the righteous, the tears of the damned. And I'll hit it right off. You know how I like to go to the bottom line. There comes a time for the righteous that God wipes away our tears. They're poured out upon His altar as a one-time offering to God. But what most people don't understand and gets lost in the translation is when Jesus bore our griefs and our sorrows, like in Isaiah 53, 4 through 6, and the chastisement of our peace was upon Him. Imagine this, Doug. Imagine the all, if you will, every storage, forgive me, every emotion, every response, every perception that we, as human beings, those of us who are the descendants of Adam and Eve, that all of our life's experiences, that's what Jesus took upon Himself. That's when Jesus wept. When Jesus wept, that statement is so powerful. And the shortest, the shortest statement in the New Testament, I think, has probably the most profound ramifications in the revelation of when God says that basically He poured out, all of our sin unto Jesus. How about this? Isaiah 53, 4 through 6. Surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And with His stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on Him, Jesus, the iniquity of us all. I can tell you this, that the entire process of tearing up, crying, weeping, and mourning is so profound in the ramifications that, as the psalmist said, that they're stored up, that tears are stored up before God. And, you know, there are basically three types of tears. There's the basal tears, which serve to lubricate the eyes, keeps our eyes from drying out. There's the reflex tears, they help wash away the chemical or particles that irritate our eyes. And the third type of tears are emotional tears. Now listen to this. These tears, and I'm reading right out of my book, contain more protein-based hormones than basal or reflex tears. Some scientists who believe these tears create chemical side effects that modify the emotions. You probably heard, Doug, that, you've heard people say, I cried my heart out, or someone, their slogans, or you need a good cry. You know, it's like the scripture says, weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. So the tears have a healing process, and I maintain as Jesus bore our griefs and our sorrows in our tears, he literally, now this is cool, I pray people get this, covered the totality of all of our life's experience, redeeming them. Now, why would they need to be redeemed? Because in the tears of the damned, Jesus talked about those who reject Him going to hell. And He says there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, and their worm dieth not. The Bible does not teach, basically the annihilation of the soul. In other words, when people die, they just cease to exist. That's not biblical. But there are factions within, quote, professing Christendom that claim that, oh, that's not true. Jesus was just speaking allegorically. But when Jesus talked about, Lazarus, the beggar, and the rich man, He made it clear that there was a certain man. There was a certain man. And so what I'm hoping tonight is that by the revelation that, that's in this book, it will help people to really come to a healing point in their life. And I've said this before, how many are the tears of the lonely? How many of the tears are the brokenhearted? How many of the tears are those who have lost everything or lost, a loved one or loved family members? How many of the tears are broken dreams, broken hopes? And again, I want to say this. Ladies and gentlemen, Pastor David Langford has the most anointed, teaching on this called Broken Things. And Jesus, when he stood up in the temple and quoted from the book of the law, remember what he said. He came to bind up the brokenhearted. He came to put the hearts back together, and only God, the maker of heaven and earth and the creator of us, could do such a thing. So, Doug, that's why I'm excited about this book, because I've never in my life thought that I would write a book like this. I never did, and I promise that's not false anything. It's just I never did. As a matter of fact, I was working on the book with Tom Horn that we're co-producing that should be out, I think, the end of April. You know, we'll be announcing that on Hagman and Hagman, ladies and gentlemen. I think it's like 590 pages. Tom wrote half, I wrote half. So my mind was totally in another place, probably in another galaxy, you know, and when God gave this to me in the shower. So it's very important already, Doug, the people that have read the book, and we've shipped them out there in stock. I mean, we're just shipping them out, but they're saying this: I've never been so blessed and never realized how much God loves me. You know, I don't think, and I'll say this, 90% of the Christians, and I would have been included in that, really don't understand the love of God in the degree that it's revealed. This whole thing came about, too, by the way, because I said, Lord, I want you to start teaching me how you see things, not as commentaries, they're good, they have their place, not as just me sitting down exegeting or going through my concordance word by word. That's good, too, because the specific Hebrew words, the specific Greek words have really defined meanings. And the point that I'm trying to make now is that tears, an ocean of emotion, only the Son of the Living God could even begin to bear that. I mean, can you look, you know, when someone's suffering, how you suffer with them? You know, let's say you've had a loss with your wife's family or vice versa, or you just see somebody that's hurting and you see that veteran with his legs blown off and you go, oh God, for why, what reason? And then as the political crisis unfolds, you see the ramifications. You talked about civil war. I believe, now I'm going to share this, Doug, and I didn't say this on Sheila's interview in this way, Sheila Zielinski. I believe that the reason why God has had me, write this or share this with people is simply because we're going into a time of national sorrow and mourning. I don't know what that means, okay? I can try and figure it out, but it's going to be such a major event. Now, we've heard that. You know, I get the emails, you get the emails, we get the emails. Sure. You guys have been saying that for years. Well, there's a difference when you're saying this will be in the future, and now this is where we are now. There is no truth in the land in this country, and no longer. Everyone's seeing the exposure of wickedness and sin. And knowing this time, I would ask people, I would ask you honestly, and this applies to me too, have you shed a tear for this country? Have you cried out to God? And look, this is not a guilt trip. If you haven't, you haven't, okay? But how about the little ones slaughtered? How about the unfolding revelation of pedogate or cannibalate, okay? That's another word I'll just throw in there.
There you go.
Cannibalate, the cannibalism that's now coming out. All this stuff is how do I say this, of the darkest pits of hell. Yet how many people, and God bless every minister that does, God bless every believer that does. So when I say that, it's not to lay anything on anybody, it's just to say, look at how those who call themselves Christians have failed immensely. And that's why Islam has been able to come into this United States and take the place, and will, unless they're stopped, and have a stronger belief system. And when I say stronger belief system, that doesn't mean it's true, but they believe in what they're doing more than the Christians believe in what Jesus did. Go ahead, Doug.
You're precisely on the money. One of the things, Steve, that as I was reading the book, Tears, an Ocean of Emotion, by the way, folks, you can view the trailer It should be linked or should be posted on our site right now. If not, go to stevequayle.com. And also, in the program description, it's there in the program description, but also, the link to buy the book too. But when I was reading your book, Steve, I thought of this. And, well, I thought of many things, but this is one. I'll address this and then you tell me what you think. But, you know, I look back at my life and I've hurt people with words or actions in deed or word. And I've caused people to cry. And in my reflection of that, I, and boy, I'll tell you, reading this book about tears, you know, I thought, my goodness. Okay. When one understands the emotion and the components of the tear that falls down the cheek of the person you hurt, you look at things a little bit differently. You look at maybe tempering your words a little bit more. You caused me in your book, and I'll just say this flat out. Sometimes I say things, Steve, and I could be very cutting with my words, especially with the people I love. And I could do it, you know, like a knife. And I've seen people cry because of things I've said or things I've done. But reading your book and understanding what's inside that tear, man, that makes me think. And that changed, that had me thinking about my previous behavior. I don't know if that sounds corny or not, but that's just one thing out there for you.
Well, let me tell you this. Each line, each paragraph, each chapter was convicting to me because, look, I understand I've been abrupt. And for those of you who have been offended, I sincerely apologize. You know, one of the things, because it seems like I have been ducking incoming for 23 years on talk radio, you know, I basically have blown it. I wish I could say before the Lord that my anger is under control. I'm working on it. But Doug, what you're saying is this. The very things that responded, that you responded to, believe it or not, God's healing in your heart, you know?
Sure.
I hope you understand that. What people are saying to me, and this is true of me too, I'm going, God, you gave this. And by the way, I make no claims. Obviously, I had to do the research on grief counseling and stuff like that because, you know, I'm not a psychologist. I'm not a psychoanalyst or anything. There's no claims made by that. But I quote some smart people. Let me give you this from Joseph Stromberg, and I think this is pretty interesting, called Emotional Components of the Tears. The microscopic structures of dried tears. I had this moment where I suddenly thought, I wonder what a tear looks like up close. Eventually, I started wondering, would a tear of grief look any different than a tear of joy? And how would they compare to, say, an onion tear? Tears are the medium. Now, here's a bit. Tears are the medium of our most primal language in moments as unrelenting as death, as basic as hunger, and as complex as a rite of passage. It's as though each one of our tears carries a microcosm of the collective human experience, like one drop of an ocean. Pretty cool, huh? I mean, that's a powerful statement. In other words, they've proven scientifically that each tear is different, that when you cry based on the emotion, the underlying emotion, the pain, whatever it is, the heartbreak, the loss, it produces different chemicals that show up in the tears, and the photomicrographs of those respond accordingly, meaning you can, these guys that do this or do these take the photomicrographs of the tears and have gone on the study. It was a mind-blowing thing for me, okay? I never realized how important it really was, and I didn't understand it. So, you know, the cry your heart out. Well, somebody said this, and I forget who said this, but they said, crying is to the soul what soap is to the body. It's a cleansing thing. The chemicals that are produced, our entire neurochemical, our entire physiology, the entire cellular structure of our cells and the DNA and all of the things that God put in us, it is such an amazing, overwhelming, mind-blowing sense of praise that will arise from your heart when you understand that those tears you're shedding now, brothers and sisters, of loneliness, of despair, And we failed the elderly, by the way, Doug. That's one of my, you know, the groups of people I feel that we failed, you know, is basically the little people that have been slaughtered on the sacrifice of Molech's scalpel, okay? Don't kid yourself. Abortion is nothing more than Satan worship, and it's nothing more than cannibalism from in the womb, you know, and I say this. As God does, unless those people repent, they will never be able to wipe the blood off their hands, nor will they be able to silence their ears in hell from the cries of the innocent. They just won't be able to do it. But in Jesus, if you'll confess your sin, Jesus said, though your sins be as scarlet. Now, I'm not, by the way, I'll make this clear. This is not a railing against anybody who's had an abortion. God has forgiven you. If you've come to Him and asked Him to forgive you, His children, your children, but His children, in heaven they forgive you, and they're waiting for you excitedly to meet the parents. And the parents have carried such guilt. You know, here's the thing. The scripture is very clear. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. And it's my prayer that this book will be such a ministering vehicle. And like I said, writing this and reading this is it's therapeutic, because I see exactly, you know, and I see my failures, but thank God, I see my hopes, my dreams. Believe it or not, I didn't call myself to this place. Some people, as you know, will claim that we do this for this reason, that reason. And I said to people, thank God you're not me. And somebody says, it sucks to be you, Quayle. My answer to that was simply, no, it doesn't suck, but to whom much is given, much is required. And with much knowledge comes much sorrow. So,
We're up against the break. Folks, we're listening, talking with Steve Quayle, his latest book, Tears, An Ocean of Emotion. And I'm looking right here at the table of contents, and this looks like a much different book than what I'm used to reading from Steve, and I'm really looking forward to
reading
it.
Can you tell I didn't share, Steve, I didn't share with Joe this weekend. I wanted to finish it first before I gave it to him.
Yeah, this looks like a very in-depth and interesting book. Steve will be with us on the other side of this short break, so don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Visit HagmanReport.com for the news and articles that matter most. Stay tuned. We will be right back. In a thrilling series of novels, T.C. Joseph takes us into the lives of three families who struggle to maintain normal lives in a world where conspiracy theory and Bible prophecy collide. T.C. Joseph's viewpoint of alternative history and understanding of prophetic events will change your view of the world and the events on our horizon. Kirkus Review states, readers of end times fiction will be hard-pressed to find it done more intriguingly than this. Extremely readable and fast-paced. Blue Wink Reviews boldly states, fans of Tim LaHaye's Left Behind series and Tom Perata's The Leftovers will find this thought-provoking series absolutely riveting. Order your copies of T.C. Joseph's This Generation series from Amazon.com. Book 1, Precipice. Book 2, Pentecost. And Book 3, Penance.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden. exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
HagmanReport.com, HagmanandHagman.com, two of our websites. Also, please, folks, subscribe to our YouTube channel. If you're listening to this via Global Star, Blog Talk, whatever, subscribe to our YouTube channel, please. It helps us with respect to visibility, and it does a number of things that helps us get the word out there. So subscribe to our YouTube channel, as well as Steve Quayle's YouTube channel. His official YouTube channel, and take a look at the content he's got on his website. We're talking about tears, an emotion, or an ocean of emotion. And Steve wrote that little by little he found the profound truth about us as human beings, as well as the Lord's love for us, our lives, and our tears. Well, they're important to the Lord. Knowing this truth is key to understanding our lives as well as living them to the fullest. And this book does help you do that. Before we get back to Steve, I want to ask you, the business owners, managers of human resources departments, whoever, if you've got a position to hire people, are you hiring? If so, do you know where to post your job position? In order to find the best candidate, posting your job in one place is not enough to find quality candidates. If you want to find the perfect hire, folks, you need to post your job on all of the top job sites, and now you can. With ZipRecruiter.com, you can post your job to 200 plus job sites, including social media networks like Facebook and Twitter, all with a single click. You can find candidates in any city, any industry, nationwide. Just post once. Watch your qualified candidates roll in. I have to tell you, the user interface is so easy. It takes away the emails, phone calls. There you can quickly screen candidates, rate them, and hire the person, the correct person for the right job really fast. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by Fortune 100 companies and thousands of small and medium-sized businesses. Right now, listeners to this broadcast can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/free trial. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free trial. One more time, to try it for free, go to ZipRecruiter.com/free trial.
Our guest for the rest of this hour is Steve Quayle. His website, SteveQuayle.com. He has a new book, Tears, An Ocean of Emotion. And that's what we're talking about in this segment. Steve, looking over your table of contents here, I don't know if there's any one area you want to get into more detail in. One of the chapters that I was looking at was Chapter 9, Sackcloth and Tears. But let's go where you want to go.
Well, I think it's important to understand that to everyone who's now being brought into the world of DNA, deoxyribonucleic acid, and all of even the biocomputers, the idea of storing enough memory on a single drop of water should come as no surprise to how great God is. You know, until recently, Joe, the notion of keeping a record of each tear we shed or each hair on our head, and I've asked the Lord for more hair so he can, you know, I'm asking for the multiplication on that and not the division or subtraction. You know, many argued that that was hyperbole, but it's not, because even a human a strand of DNA, the storage capacity is overwhelming. And I want to make this clear, in our tears, it's really important that our tears contain our individual DNA. Obviously, that's why they swab mucus out of your mouth, you know, when they want to take a sample of your DNA, and that it provides the quintessential storage medium for all our unique traits. And what's most profound to me is each tear here contains a record of the genetic material that makes each of us unique. In other words, Joe Hagman, Doug Hagman, Steve Quayle, all of our tears are different. They're not only different as we are different genetically, obviously, we have different way that all of our life's experiences have come together, but that's the uniqueness. And here's what I want to say again, please, ladies and gentlemen, Doug, if you can say this better than I can, please, because I get overwhelmed with how cool this is, okay? That when Jesus wept, the sum total of all tears shed on the planet, both at his time, up until that time, and even forward until his second coming, would be born in his body, because he's God. And when he shed his tears, and he shed his tears first, and then basically he shed drops of blood. First came the water and the blood, for instance, in the Garden of Gethsemane. But here's something, Hebrews 5:5-9, and talking about Jesus, who in the days of his flesh, verse 7, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Jesus had the fear of the Lord. That's one of the seven aspects of the Holy Spirit. So what's amazing, and I think this is someplace I'd like to go, I go into the tears of elephants. God really started dealing with me, and I think I shared this a little bit on Sheila's show. I've never been an animal lover, okay? I've had my German shepherds who I've really loved, and, you know, two of them have died, and then, you know, I didn't like to have pets because I hated when they died. I think the first pet I ever had was a beautiful collie, and you know, when she died, you know, I said I'll never have another pet. Then I broke down and got a shepherd, and then I got hip dysplasia, and now I got a little labradoodle that God has really used. I mean, you know, he's just cuter than I'll get out. And what can you say about a dog that jumps 10 times in the air up to your kitchen counter when you're ready to feed him, except he's hungry and he's cute? But the thing is in studying the hierarchy of elephants in my second chapter, this is critical. The elephants are the only social order of animals that they have been able to track family, the knowledge of death. You know, they do have the knowledge of death. Even dead elephants, where their bones, even in the old Tarzan movies, they used to talk about the elephant graveyard. The elephants are the only one of the main mammals that not only protects the dead, but remembers the dead. Even when they go on their trips through the savannah or wherever they go, like obviously South Asian elephants, but they remember their dead. Mother elephants cry. There was a story, and I put it in my book, and this tears me up, about elephants that have been abused in captivity for 50 years. When they finally released it, it started crying out of both eyes and trumpeted. Or the elephant that was in Africa and basically got shot in the head but knew it had to walk to the humans who could help it and laid down and allowed the vets to take out the bullet and heal it up. And then it walked away, and it literally had tears of joy and trumpeted and looked back over his shoulders as if to say thank you. You know, it's a wonderful thing. Elephants, I said this, elephants treat their members of their clan better than we as Christians treat each other. And I'm guilty of that too, because I've said all along, I said, God, I don't want to be at war with your people, and then somebody gets me in a battle over flat earth, or they get me in a battle over this or that, you know, and I should know better. Or right when I think I've escaped a battle, I get drawn in by somebody who wants me to take his side, and when I don't, I become the enemy. So God reminds us that you know, that our tears are sacred to him. And I want to give one of the coolest things I know, and this is what the Lord shared with me, and I think it's the heart of a repentant sinner. And this is in Luke 7:36-50. I won't read the whole thing, but I want to share a lot about this. And one of the Pharisees desired him, Jesus, that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have have known who and what manner of woman this is, and who it is that touches him, for she is a sinner. Now look at the tears aspect of this. A woman who's a sinner, most likely a prostitute, although it doesn't say that, but I think it indicates that, because only prostitutes could afford the alabaster box of ointment, which was one of the most precious things, commodities, in that time, in biblical times. Now, here's what she does. She stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet, the feet of Jesus, with her tears, and wiped them with the hairs on her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now, the Bible says a woman's hair is her glory. So what she did, okay, what she did is basically took her entire life, her tears, the emotions, all of the things she wished she would have done, the things she didn't do, the life she could have had, the life she had to live, and she put it all at the feet of Jesus, and she wiped the feet of the Savior of the universe with a composite totality of her emotional being, of her total life's essence, and then with her hair, that was her glory, she took that which she had, the most precious thing she could hand to give was her hair, and she wiped. What did she do? She wiped the feet with the hairs on her head. And then it says, and she kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. The ointment was probably the most expensive thing she had. If you would, that was her ability to maybe continue to do commerce in the marketplace without in the bedroom, and I'm not trying to be tacky. But the Pharisees and their self-righteousness, you know, they were more concerned with the actions of the woman than the redemption of the woman. And see, that's the same thing. Redemption is everything in God's world. That's why he said, and the scripture makes it clear, he who winneth souls is wise. I don't believe there's a better practical application of scripture than in the sum total of just a simple passage in Luke 7 of a woman who basically, by all standards, would just be passed over. And you know, the marriage supper of the Lamb, when that comes and as that happens, the people that, you know, had invitations say, no, I'm too busy. But that's when God says he compels his angels to go out into the highways and byways and compel everyone who will to come in. In other words, not the religious, not the self-righteous, but the people who are in need of a Savior. There is the heart of God towards humanity. You can't do God speaking what only I can do, but if you'll let me do what I created the world to be like and allowed my Son to come into it to redeem you, you can become everything beyond your dreams, because my dreams are bigger than your dreams. And so that's what I want to share with people. I really want them to pray about this. Don't be ashamed to cry. Don't be ashamed. And know this, that there comes an end. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. As Psalm 30, verse 5. So one of the things, too, on the animals, do animals cry? Let me just read this. This is by James Honeyborn. Scientists have observed extraordinary displays of emotion from elephants. When one tame animal called Abu died at a safari outfit in Botswana, his keepers brought the other elephants to say goodbye. One female elephant, Kathy, was seen crying from both eyes, tears streaming down her face. Now, brother, you know, I say and I stand by this statement, the idea that the elephants treat themselves better than us, most people can't help but, you know, rub our noses, or we want to rub their noses and their stuff, and Jesus said, quit rubbing your noses. That's, again, why God hates tale-bearing and slander, because he who covers a matter is greater than he who reveals a matter. And I can tell you this from personal experience, coming into, you know, different situations, love covers a multitude of sins, but hate, jealousy, and envy, the only response they can have is through the accusation of others, as referenced by Satan himself. when Satan caused, you know, a third of the angels to fall from heaven, it was due to his accusations against God. And the angels listen. Those of you who listen to accusations are going to get poisoned by the nature of the accusations, because it certainly isn't the Spirit of God. Okay, now, this is interesting, Doug, because as we go on, and I can't get into all the different chapters, because as Joe said, but, you know, there's just so many of them, but I think that people need to understand that this book came, and I asked Pastor David Langford, I said, David Langford, have you ever heard anybody in your entire ministry, and David Langford is a called minister of God, he's been in the field for, you know, 20 years as an evangelist, and then as pastoring, and he was ordained, and men of God laid hands on him after he was, you know, proven, he had to prove himself acceptable to the whatever denomination. So there are people that are, I would say this, ordained in that way, and they're ministers. They watch for our souls. But I asked David, Doug, I said, David, have you ever heard anything like this? He said, no, I never have. I said, in all that Jesus bore, our sorrows and griefs, had the subject of tears ever come up? He said, no. And then I understood. This was a revelation, and I'm not saying somebody else hasn't thought about it. I'm just saying this, that it was a revelation that God needs us to understand at this point in life, because, and here's the part I want people to understand, mourning is natural, M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G. You can't hurry it. You can't speed it along. You can't pat someone on the back. A potluck's good for the day of the funeral or the ceremony, but that doesn't do it. The best thing that people, there's a scripture that says, not scripture, forgive me, there's an adage that says, time heals all wounds. That's not necessarily true. I would say this, Jesus bore all wounds, and he can, the only one who can carry the burden of someone who's in agony over their loss is the Lord Jesus. You pray for people, you encourage the people, you do every act of kindness you can, but you got to understand that mourning is a process. It is a process. It took me, when my brother was murdered, the year of Mount St. Helens, whatever that was. And, you know, we never found his body. We know who killed him, and that guy ended up killing himself. But for 20 years, even knowing his murderer, the police pretty much weren't able to act. His wife was going to testify against him, and then he shot her, and she lived. And then fast forward another 20 years, Doug, and he shoots her again, and she doesn't die, and then he turns the gun on him, he shoots himself in the head, and he dies, okay? But it took me so long to get over that grieving process. And those of you who have had family, relatives murdered, my heart is with you. That's not a false sympathy, because there's an unresolved, if you will, an unresolved ache, just like a husband who's killed in a car wreck or a wife or whatever. You can't explain it. The wise don't answer the question. But the thing is, if you know that what you're going to meet them again, see, this is the hope of Christianity. This is where we differ, you know, than in every other religion in the world. You know, we're not going to sit in some temple contemplating nothing for the rest of eternity, and eternity is a long time. But the people that reject Jesus Christ, their tears will follow them. And, you know, it's interesting. People want to believe the good stuff Jesus talked about, but they don't want to believe when he's talking about hell. And, you know, people say, well, we do away with hell. We do away with the hammer that Christians have over our heads. No. By the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. And, Doug, I'll tell you this. I can sum up the entire failure of the church in the 20th century and 21st century. There is no fear of God in the land. There is none. Because the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. And the fear of the Lord is one of the ministering aspects of the sevenfold functions of the Spirit of God. So this is kind of where I'd like to take this, and then I'll let you, I just want to read one more scripture, you know, five or six verses, and then I'll just be quiet and let you ask me questions. Ladies and gentlemen, this book is available on my website. You can also link to it on Doug's website. It's $5, 20% off until the end of this month because I didn't get them as quick. They're in. We got plenty to ship, and they ship every day. So Luke 16:19 through probably 24. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, the rich man lift up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. You know what I never saw until getting ready for tonight's show, Doug?
That
he wanted the very one he rejected to be the one that would come and provide him water. That's irony. I've never seen that before, okay? I've read it, but I've never seen that before. It's kind of like the scripture, then opened he their eyes. You know, so this is right. this is the most important thing I think that I've ever written, and I think it will minister to people. I believe it will put broken people back together again by the Spirit of God. I believe it will give new hope to the hopeless. I believe it will provide strength to the helpless. I believe it will absolutely help us to endure to the end, because that's what kept Jesus. Jesus set the Lord ever before him. So did King David. And that's what took them through, and that's what will take us through, no matter what we go through. There's no other way to do it. We're not smart enough, we're not strong enough, we're not rich enough. Even the rich can't do it, because they can't protect themselves against things that are beyond their immediate vicinity. It doesn't mean good to have $100 million yacht or even a billion dollar yacht be at the wrong place in the ocean or in the Pacific or Atlantic when you have a once in a 100-year tidal wave or an earthquake or a whirlpool or God knows what. You know, the right target at the right, you don't want to be a target of opportunity at the wrong time. So anyway, that's and there's so many chapters in here. And, you know, this is like a huge subject. This is like sitting down and trying to explain everything that goes on in the cell of a human being by a mitochondria, you know, within even the mitochondria, etc. And, you know, there's hundreds of thousands. But the basic thing is this. Jesus was wounded for your transgressions. He was bruised for your iniquity. And all your tears, with a sum total of your human experience, your failures, your victories, everything, Jesus bore that on the cross, and those tears are precious, and all of that has been redeemed to be offered up on the altar of God when he will wipe away all our tears.
Very well said, Steve. You know, I can't really do justice to what you've said. Certainly, I can barely do justice to what you've written, and you've written a tremendous book that informs, it educates, but it inspires. But you know, one of the things is, as I read through the book and focused on certain chapters this weekend, Steve, I want to ask you, if you don't mind, at this point in our time, in our nation, in our national history, we're seeing so much go on, and maybe people don't cry for their countries anymore. Maybe there's not that emotion for that the time that once was. But you write in here about the tears of national loss, and you address certain things. The time period we're at right now, and we only have about 5 minutes to the end of the hour, but in the time period we're at right now, what would you say about tears of national loss, tears of for our nation, to the people listening who really can see our country slipping away from them?
I would say that the slipping away, and I would say the having slipped away, I would say, for instance, I get more flack from people telling me I'm a Trump chump that are claiming to be Christians, but they never give me any scripture, or they'll try and distort the scripture. We need to weep. We need to howl before the porch and the altar. And, oh, God, you see, here's the thing, Doug. We've been so hardened, and I think this is the answer, okay, but this is the answer I'd like to give you. National loss can only be referenced in what the history of the nation is all about. That's why the communist takeover, the education system, you know, in the early 60s forward has produced a nation of people that don't know their roots, okay? And they don't know the price men paid in World War I, World War II. And by the way, I don't condone war. I hate war. But I know this, that given the surrender of the former Clinton regime, the Bush regime, the Obama regime, our country is naked. We stand naked before God, but our national loss, this is what I'm sensing, Doug. I'm sensing something so powerful. And if God would tell me, I would tell everybody, but I don't know why he won't tell me, but it's probably because it would overwhelm me. But when it happens, the only way that any of us will stay in the right attitude of praise and thanksgiving is by enduring what we've got to go through as individuals in a nation. The nation we once loved, whether it was an illusion or not, there was a whole lot of more freedom and a whole lot of less slaughter and a whole lot of less perversion. By the way, I won't write the book that I could write on the origin of sexual perversion, okay? It's not that I'm an expert, but I do know the history of it. So the thing I would tell people too, and here's where I'm going to change my ministry and my focus, okay? I don't know how long I'm up on the internet. Every day it becomes more troublesome, perilous. But I'm going to go to QCast on my YouTube channel, and thank you for mentioning that. I do not respond to any postings. I have people that do. I'm just too busy. And when I say that, that's not, I know that I'm up against the clock, okay? And that clock is counting down. So if I can win 10 people or 1,000 people to the Lord Jesus Christ by answering the questions no one else will deal with, then glory to God in the highest. I'm serious. If I'm the one that God says, speak out, write out about Antarctica, now everything's coming out about Antarctica, and I'll do the same thing about Mars. Watch what happens to Mars. I'll make an announcement on that. But please, those of you that want updates, I'm going to do, Doug, an update every other day, and if I can, I'll do them every day, a 30-minute or less. By the way, every time I say that, they turn out to be an hour.
I know. I love that, brother. I do. Yeah. I got to stop you, man. We're at the end of the hour. But I love your QCast. And folks, stevequayle.com, but his YouTube channel, please keep doing those. And don't worry about the time, man. They're just so informative. They really are.
Thank you, everyone.
Yeah, Tears and an Ocean of Emotion. Brother, that's just a fantastic book. Something that I totally didn't expect. Thank you for writing that. I mean that, brother. Thank you.
You're welcome. And people, order it off my website, stevequayle.com or Doug's site, because you get a $5 discount. And I promise you, it will change your life. It's even changing my life. And, you know, it will change your life. And it will change it for the better. Doug, blessings to you. Doug, you know, Joe, blessings to you. And bless you, everyone out there. But take this stuff to the Lord in prayer and really ask him, God, show me in your word just exactly how important this is to you. Bye-bye, Doug.
Thanks, Steve. Have a good night. We'll be right back with Cheryl Chumley right after this.
In Florida, they created something called the G-Mag Power Cell. It produces electricity by adding salt water to this unit that recharges rechargeable batteries. It's the coolest thing you'll ever see in your life. It's really neat. Really a super device. All right, you need just 2 teaspoons of ordinary table salt, a little water, but a bang, you're charging your rechargeable batteries. Super G-Mag Chargeable is affordable, it's lightweight, weighs about 8 ounces, it's durable, it's EMP proof, and it's environmentally friendly, that it is. It'll provide safe and convenient power for recharging 6 AA batteries off the grid when other power sources aren't available anywhere, anytime, in any weather, day or night. Go to greeninnovative.com. That's greeninnovative.com. Perhaps you're a business out there, a small business.
Hi.
Would you like to extend the reach of your business?
Doug Hagman,
I bet you would.
Would you like to have the same opportunities as companies such as Omaha Steaks, Pro Flowers, and Casper Mattress, some of the bigger companies out there? Would you like to have that same power? Advertise on our program. Go to HagmanandHagman.com or send an email to opportunities@HagmanandHagman.com. If you go to HagmanReport.com and HagmanandHagman.com, there's a link where you can. It's a big red box. You'll see it. Click on that link and go ahead and read the benefits what we have created for you. I think it's a fabulous opportunity.
For investors, timberland has become the symbol of safety. Global tropical timber demand continues to surge as the world's population increases. The need for managed, sustainable timber production forests has never been greater. When stock markets crash, trees keep growing. Direct ownership of fully managed tropical timberland acreage is now available to accredited investors. Prime, valuable hardwood groves close to the beautiful Costa Rican border generate and maintain superior long-term wealth. Consider visiting our forest plantations. Qualified accredited investors should go to PreciousTimberProfits.com or dial 855-888-6288 for more information. Call 855-888-6288 or visit PreciousTimberProfits.com. This announcement does not constitute either an offer to sell securities or a solicitation of an offer to purchase. Offering made by prospectus only. 855-888-6288, PreciousTimberProfits.com.